So far, so good. Many people, I'm going to try to stay on a script this morning just because I think I'll be shorter. Many reduce the call to Christ following down to just believing the right things and being a good person. But the more we read the teachings of Jesus and the writings of Paul, we see that there is something more. Following Jesus cannot be reduced to just being good. The religious people that Paul knew sometimes reduced the covenant to mere rule following. If we'll just obey the rules right, if we'll follow the law to the absolute letter, if we don't ever go more than one step we're supposed to go, if we do just the right things, then all these oppressors, the Romans, will go away. But like Paul found, we find too in our religious life that rule following is a dead path. It is an easier path to follow, but it is a dead path, a false path. Simply put, we are called to be in a living relationship with the Creator. We are called into a spiritual inner life which at its heart is actively loving God. That's what we're called to do. Not don't disobey rules, but love God. And loving God doesn't mean all, it's not just about the rules. It's about being in relationship. This relationship, this dance, this covenant, this promise between us and God, it starts with God. God makes all the difference. The heart of the relationship is that God extended God's self into matter, extended God's self into creation. Briefly said, creation is the first great act of God's love. Poof. God creates a good and loving creation. God has a part of God's self that God can then love and can love God back. But in order for us human beings and the rest of creation to truly love God back, God has to make the creation free and independent. Sometimes we human beings think free and independent is the most important part. It seems to be the forefront, and we forget about the image of God. I don't believe that the image of God is being independent. I believe the image of God is being loving. When we love, God shows up. When we're free and independent, guess what? I generally miss because I get a little cocky. Is that just me? Are you listening? Anybody else get cocky? Oh, but it's a wonderful part of being human that we want to be free and independent. Sometimes we get stuck with that swing on free and independent, and we hide the image of God that is in us. And God has to come again and get us unstuck. It is pure love and pure grace when God comes to us when we are stuck and makes it right again. While we were unaware, when we were broken, when we were self-interested, God turns us around and re-aims us. We humans seem to need this re-aiming more than we would like to admit. I want to use the image of a very young child learning to walk. That's the way it feels to me our spiritual life is. We work really hard to get up so we can do all the things that we want to do and be in charge of our own little life. And what happens when we first try to start to walk? And what happens? Mommy or daddy or whoever's watching out for us picks us up and gives us a little support and says, try again. And God keeps letting us up and says, try again. And when we aim for the things we shouldn't be touching, God turns us around and aims us the right direction. Scripture talks about God's dream for us is for an awakening, a transformation, not for us to be perfect human beings in terms of following a set of rules, but for us to be really, truly echoes of who God is. Our spiritual destiny is to reflect God's image. We don't reflect God's image in rule following. That's not God's thing. We reflect God's image when we are loving and forgiving and gracious, when we are kind to ourselves and when we are kind to others. While we were unaware, broken, self-interested, God turns us around and aims us the right direction. And we ride that pendulum swing back from independent and free, and we get back to being close to where God wants us to be, and then we're too afraid to just let go and just be God's. And Jesus and Paul and the other writers in the New Testament keep encouraging us, when you get back close to God, let go. Don't keep going back and forth. Some of us humans, even when we're doing great, get a little bit afraid and think that God just wants us to be good little children. We think that if we fully follow the way of Christ, we will never have fun again, we will never fall again, we'll never suffer again, we'll never have pain again. But God offers us a different way, a fulfilling way, a way that fits us and is specifically designed for us individually, a way with purpose, a way with meaning, of deep fellowship, of true intimacy, a place where serving fills us with joy, not bitterness. If your spiritual life is filled with bitterness, you're doing it wrong. But if you have found a place, like we talked about Jeannie, that fills you with joy and you're doing that, then you are, God has said, tag, you're it, go do that some more. And she showed God's face. When you do something in your spiritual life and you show a bitter face, you may be doing it wrong. It's the false path. It's the way of meaninglessness. I don't remember whether 14 generations ago, somebody followed all the rules, right? But we know that love has been passed down for generation after generation. The way of stuckness, the way of sin, Paul keeps calling sin, is missing the mark. The path, this path of stuckness, sometimes we're seduced to take that path because it feels like we have more power and it feeds into our greed and our selfishness. We keep looking for joy and happiness and search for hope, but we only find out that we're on the same merry-go-round one more time. This is missing out on God's plan. When we ride our life merry-go-round and it feels like we're missing out, we're doing it wrong. When we were younger, we would say, all right, now if I try this way, it'll produce more meaning. If I make just a little bit more money, if I have just the right car, we try to buy more carefully, since buying, of course, leads to happiness, according to the 30-second life coaching we get from the TV. But Jesus and Paul are countercultural. Culture says, have more stuff. And Jesus says, give your stuff away. Why do you think this is? You think God is trying to trick us? Is God trying to get a better deal on our stuff because we're giving it away at a discount? Or is God suggesting that stuff robs us from true life and from true joy? It is so striking when you visit the Holy Land. The ancient houses have no closets. And here, into that moment, into that culture, Jesus says, if somebody asks you for your cloak, give them also this. Jesus is essentially saying, give them your last piece of clothing, not your second to the last. He's saying, the second to last and the last. They had so little in the way of possession, and Jesus still called them into account for holding on to things. There is a new life waiting. But we have to die to our old ways. We have to be born into God. When the ancient rite of baptism was done, you would be dunked down into the Jordan River. Have you seen the Jordan River? It's a little muddier than I would think you'd want to spend a lot of time in. So there's a sense in which as you dunk down in the Jordan River, you are buried in the Jordan River. You disappear. And so Paul is playing on that when he says in baptism we die to sin, because the intention is that baptism is supposed to be such a life-changing moment that who you have been in this world dies and you come out different with a new life. The Jordan is a dirty, muddy river. It is like being buried. And so when we sprinkle a little bit of water, we have to remind ourselves that it's supposed to mean we go down like we're dead and we rise up like we're coming out of the tomb. Sometimes we Christians are seduced by culture. Sometimes we misdirect our love for God into a love for our church or a love for our pastor or an ideology or a tradition or a family or cultural ideas. When we cannot distinguish our love for God as separate from our love for our pastor, we are making a terrible mistake. We have seen too many pastors who could not live up to that. And folks have given up on the church because of, and we can list names of folks who are fallen pastors. When we hold on to our church like it's the love of God and we just hold on to it and we don't worry about being God, we sometimes have a problem. When we cannot distinguish our love for God and our love for our nation or our national ideals or our political affiliation, we have a problem. One cannot serve two masters. God told Israel that God was a jealous God and wanted to be first, and Jesus made the distinction by telling followers and non-followers alike to give to God what is God's and under Caesar, to Caesar what is Caesar's. To actually follow Jesus and be in a true relationship with God, we must be on the lookout for when we let the world's values intertwine with our love for God. So how do we live a new life? How do we live a resurrection life? How do we dance with a seemingly invisible God and have a relationship? For me, it's been a journey of failure. Kind of like a one-year-old learning to walk. Pure trial and error. I mess up or I fall on my face and God encourages me, brushes me off, supports me, and lets go and lets me try again. Most of my deep spiritual learning have had failure or falling or brokenness as the catalyst. I love more today. I love deeper today because of hurt and failure and some unconditional love shown to me during those times of hurt and failure. This is what I mean by living a pattern of death and resurrection. We fall down and God gives us a different life. We are broken, hurt, suffering, and God changes in that moment into us into something we couldn't have been without the failure. Some of you know exactly what I mean. Today, I want to invite you to surrender to the one who transforms hurt and loss and failure into new life. The one who offers resurrection in the midst of death. How do you do that? Listen to God's voice in your life. Maybe God speaks to you in your gut and you feel this sense. Maybe it's in your tears. Maybe it's in your heartbreak. Maybe it's in your music. Maybe it's watching where joy comes out. Maybe it's you can see it best or hear God's voice best in your anger and frustration. The key is when God picks you back up and re-aims you, go that direction. It's never too late to leave your old self behind and start the journey anew. Seek joy. Aim for joy. Aim for love. Aim for forgiving yourself and for forgiving others. If you have not forgiven yourself, if you have not forgiven someone else, and you feel stuck in that, let God re-aim you. Live with purpose. If it is not loving or joyful or forgiving or meaningful, then re-aim. Without thinking about it, you learned to walk. We all fell and tried again. Fell and tried again. Don't get so caught up in thinking you have to think your way into new life. Follow joy and forgiveness and love and meaning. This is the cycle of death and resurrection. We get more and more comfortable with this pattern as we fail more and more. Anybody happy about that? I'm happy that we get better, but I really don't. I wish I could learn some lessons, not the worst, hardest, most painful possible way. But it turns out some lessons I only learn the worst, painful, possible way. As we get more comfortable with the pattern and we trust that God has the same love and joy and purpose in store for us every time we fall in and every time we feel the sense of death, this is the walk of our faith journey, our trust and belief journey. This is being in love with God. I am constantly convicted by God using David. David was not good. David did not follow the law. Best I can tell, the only reason God used David as an example, and a main example at that, was to confront us and remind us that it is about the love we have for God and not be about being a good boy or girl. If you are looking for simplicity in Christ following, if you're wondering how to do this right, remember how Jesus summarized the whole thing. Love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all everything, and your neighbor as yourself. For this is the law and the prophets. Let us pray. Oh God, once again, as we recognize that we have fallen, lift us up and brush us off and aim us the right direction. Help us when we fall or feel lost to remember that the bearings are these: love God, love others, love self, love enemies, love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.